This week's parasha, Parashat Mishpatim, clearly a lot to talk about. It's also Shabbat Shkalim, so that's what to talk about. But in Mishpatim, which when you think of Mishpatim, you typically think about the law code, and you think about juridical procedure, and mainly about Nezikin and things of that sort that we're familiar with also from our Limud HaGemara. But Parashat Mishpatim also has, at the end of the law code section, a sort of a covenant, it seems. And it starts truly a little bit before Source 1, but we're going to take a look at Source 1. And we're just going to sketch Source 1 until we get to the key line. If you take a look at Lo Tateh Mishpat Avion Chabrivo, you shall not pervert the judgment or the case of your poor when he has a suit. Midvar Sheker Tichak, Menakiva Tzadik Al Tarog, Kilo Tzadik Rasha. So stay far away from a lying matter, lying words. Do not execute the innocent. I will not exonerate the wicked, the wicked person who executes the innocent. B'shochad lo tikach, don't take bribery. So who is this entire parasha directed to?
Judges.
And the entire thing is about juridical procedure. And then something strange happens. In Pasuk Yod, in the middle of the second line, V'sheshanim yizrat atzacha v'safta tvuata, we hear about Shemitah. Hashmiti shmetenim atzacham achlu evyonim, again evyonim. The poor shall be able to eat. V'itram tocha chayat asadeh. Ken taseh lecham b'chal ezeitecha. You do it with your fields, you do it with your vineyards, you do it with your olive groves. Sheshanim taseh masecha. Now we go from Shemitah to Shabbat. Yovei mashmiti shpot. Why? L'man yanuach shochav v'chamorecha v'yinafesh b'namatcha v'yager. So we've shifted, but this is all in one parasha, Parashat Masorah. You're looking at Sefer Torah, it's all in one paragraph. And we've gone from directions to the court to be careful to not oppress the underprivileged and et cetera, to shifting to laws that apply to everybody that are part of the calendar, both the year calendar, the year's calendar and the weekly calendar. And the particular component given here is different than in other places. For instance, in Parshat Bahar, when we talk about Shemitah, the focus seems to be the land belongs to me. Here is, in order to make sure the poor can join you in eating and have equal access. Shabbat in Parshat Yitro is about creation. Here Shabbat is about making sure that they all can rest with you. Right? And then we have this Pasuk Yod Gimel in the middle. Do not have the names of foreign gods on your lips. How that got in there, unclear. We'll get back to it. Shalosh regalim tachog li bashana. And now suddenly we go to the regalim. El chag ha-matzot tishmor, and then in pasuk tetzayin chag ha-katsir, el chag ha-asif. So three regalim. And then that's summed up in yodzayin with shalosh pavim ha-shana yirachuz chuchat el pnei Adonai. All of your males should be appear before God three times a year. That's the regalim. And we end this. And this is not only the end of this parasha, it's the end of the law code. Because the very next pasuk is Hinei Anochi Sholech Malach Lefanecha Lishmorcha Badarach, etc. What is this last pasuk? Lotizbach HaChametz Dam Zivchi. So do not have the dam of my korban, Danu Korban Pesach, go on the Mizbeach while you own chametz. Ve'alin Chelav Chalgiyad Boker, the prohibition against leaving something over, Lina. Reshit Bikurei Matcha Tavi Beit Adonai Lecha, bring your Bikurim to the Mikdash. Lot V'ashagdi V'chalev Imo. Kind of weird. What's it doing here? So I'm going to ask three questions because our number today is three. Right? I feel like Sesame Street, but our number today is three. First of all, what is Lo Tvashal G'di B'chal Yimo doing here? It seems to be out of place. Which is part of a larger question, which is what's going on in this parsha. It seems to meander a little bit. The second thing is if you look at the page, front and back, you will see in big print, Lot v'ashagdi v'chalev imo. Exact same words, exact same letters, and exact same even trope marks. Always at the end of a pasuk, in three different places in the Torah. One in Mishpatim, one in Kitisa, one in Dvarim. So the second question I want to ask is, why three times? Why did it show up three times? And the third question is a very famous question, which is, why is there an isur of lo tvashal gedi v'chalev imo, what we like to call cheeseburger, And why is it worded the way it is? If the Torah wants to prohibit milk and meat, do what Unklus did. Lo techol basar v'chalav. Why word it this way? Strange. So the first thing is, if you turn the page and look at source number 4 from the Mechilta, it also shows up in Masechet Chulin in the 8th parak. But in the Mechilta, you have a number of opinions as to why this Isur shows up 3 times. So it's to tell you that it's true about both Gdi, which is a goat, which is Behema Daka. Also, it's true about cows. And it's also true about deer. In other words, it applies to all meat. Okay. Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai Omer, Echad Isur Achila, Echad Isur Hana'a, Echad Isur Bishul. And this is the most famous piece, and the one that Rashi quotes in his Perush on Chumash, which is, it says it 3 times to tell you that there's 3 different prohibitions. Right? So 3 times to tell you 3 different prohibitions, which is Isur Bishul, you're not allowed to cook them. You know, it's even if you have a job to cook, and you're not eating it, and you even want to do it for free, you're not allowed to cook mokum meat together. Second of all, you're not allowed to eat it. Somebody else cooked it, not allowed to eat it. Third of all, you're not allowed to get hana'ah by selling it, dealing with it, etc. So part of the question is, how did you get that from that? In other words, how did you get those 3 Isurim from there? Well, the simplest explanation is you build out, because if it only said Lo Tvashog Dibachalevimo once, you would say the Torah says don't cook it, which means an Isur Bishul. It says it a second time, it must be casting the net a little wider. Well, why would you be cooking it? For food, so don't eat it. And why? And cast it even further, we'd go to the general rule that we have, which is not a general rule, it's Machloket and Psachim in the second parak, but that often when the Torah prohibits eating, it also extends it to Hana'ah. As an example, Yayin Nesach, as an example, Chametz B'Pesach, as an example, Kilei HaKerem. There's all sorts of things the Torah prohibits eating that it also prohibits getting benefit from, selling it and using it to feed your animals, etc. Okay. But we may be able to do a little better than that in identifying where these 3 Isurim came from. And I want to point you to one other comment of Chazal, which is in the Sifri, the last source on page 2. The Sifri, which is the Midrash Halacha on Dvarim. Remember, this Isur shows up in Shemot twice and once in Dvarim. So in the Midrash Halacha in Dvarim, we have the same observation. Lama Nemar, why is it 3 times? Keneged Shalosh Britot Shekarat HaKadosh Baruch Hu im Yisrael Shalosh Pamim. God made a covenant with us in 3 different places. Right? Achat Bechorev. And by the way, this will not match. Meaning, you might think, oh, he said Lo Tvashog Di Bechalev Imo at place A and a place B and a place C. So each time he made a brit, he said it. That's not true. He made 3 britot with us. Achat Bechorev, the brit that we have at Har Sinai, which is essentially the second half of Shemot and Vayikra. And then Achat Be'arvot Moav, the brit that we have at the end of the Torah, which is, the brit is in Kitavo and Nitzavim and Nitzavim. And Achat Be'har Grizim V'Har Eval. Har Grizim and Har Eval is after we enter the land, and we have the 6 tribes and 6 tribes, we've dealt with that before, and that brit. So there's the 3 britot, and that notion is common within Midrash Tanaim about the 3 britot, and about Sinai and Arvot Moav and the Grizim and Eval. It plays a role in the whole issue of Arvut and the letters and the dots over Hanistarot Lashem Elokeinu and the Sugi and Sota. Lots of places in Chazal where they pick up on this idea of the 3 britot. Okay. We still got to connect the dots. We still got our 3 questions. So I'm going to start the inquiry by saying, let's look at the other 2 places where it says it. If you notice that in this place where it said it, the focus in the first part was on juridical procedure and justice in the court and ensuring that nobody is mistreated, especially the disenfranchised, right? Those who are lowly, should not be mistreated in the court. Okay? And there was then a shift in the middle. Pasuk Yod Gimel suddenly introduced the idea of not mentioning other gods' names, which seems to be disconnected from all of it. And then it went to the Regalim, which again seems to be kind of a weird turn. And from that, we then have these last two psukim that culminated in Lotva Shogdi B'chalevimo. It's got to figure out what's going on in here. But before doing it, let's see the context of the other two. The second one shows up in Parshat Ki Tisa. Parshat Ki Tisa carries with it a certain burden of Parshanut, which we don't have elsewhere. Because what happens in Ki Tisa is something we might refer to as recovenanting. The section of Ki Tisa is the second half, the last third of Ki Tisa, is after the Egel, and after Hashem then forgives us, and says, the Midot, Hashem Hashem El Rachum Hanun, right? Then there's a Brit. And it starts, really, the Pasuk before the one that's on source 2, Hine Anochi Kore Brit, etc. But here's the content of that Brit. Now notice, it also ends with Lo Tvashog Diva Chalev Imo. Shmor lecha et asher anochi mitzavcha hayom. Hineni goresh b'vanecha et amarim v'atakneim v'akneim v'achitim v'abizim v'achibim v'ayvusi. So keep the Brit. Take what I'm telling you. And I'm going to then send them all out. And by the way, that's something he said to Mishpatim also. I will send the nations out. And now, remember in Mishpatim, what was the focus? The focus was on the poor. And taking care not to hurt the poor and the disenfranchised. Here, make sure not to make a brit with the people who live there. Why? Because it'll be a trap for you. What's the problem? Rather, you must destroy their worship places. God is a jealous God, whatever that may mean. The entire first half of this component of the Brit is about Avodah Zarah, which is hardly mentioned in the one above. It's mentioned in one phrase, which is, do not have the names of the other gods on your lips. The rest of it is not about that. This is all about Avodah Zarah. And then, suddenly, here we go again. At Chag HaMatzot Tishmor, we had that above. Shivatim tocha matzot asher tzichem ha'odchem ha'shavim ki'uchon ha'shavim ha'otzatem yitzatem mitzvayim. Kol peter rechem li. And now, we don't go, at this point, to the other chagim. We're going to get to them. But there's a focus on the b'chorot, which is the result of yitzat mitzvayim. That's not mentioned above. We know about it. It's not mentioned in the section above. Fetah ha'mor tiftev asev, etc., etc. Shesh temim tavur v'yom ha'shvi tishvot, which, by the way, we had above. And what was that about? Above. Rest on Shabbat so that your workers can rest and your slaves can rest. Here, what does it say? And b'chavishu b'katsir tishbot. Big machloket Rabbi Kiva Rabbi Shmuel. Is that about Shabbat or about Shemitah? No mention here about taking care of the poor. V'chag shavuot tasalacha b'kurei k'tzir chitim v'chag asif v'tkuvat hashana. Shalosh pamim yishanei yachos chuchai el et p'nei ha'adon Adonai Elohei Yisrael. And again, going back to the beginning, ki orish goyim panecha v'chavti et kvulecha, I'm going to dispossess the nations, I'm going to broaden your border. V'achmoni ishet artzecha, v'otcha l'orot p'nei Adonai Elohecha shalosh pamim yishanei. And nobody's going to mess with you. Nobody's going to try to take your land when you come and make aliyah l'regel. And then the same two psukim that we had before, which end with Lo Tvashog Di V'Chalei. So we seem to be going in a similar pattern. There's a brit here. There's some sort of a best hits or something like that that ends with Lo Tvashog Di V'Chalei. But the focus in this section is entirely different. And things that are explicitly in the first brit are omitted here, such as the concern on Shabbat for the poor, such as Shemitah, which is all about the poor, explicitly there. Now turn the page, take a look at the last one. The last one is the one that everybody would expect, because if I were to come up to you and you did not know, you knew the laws of the mitzvot, but you didn't know where they're located, and I asked you, where does the Torah say you can't have meat and milk, what would you have guessed? What would have been your first guess as to a location?
Vayikra.
Where in Vayikra?
No.
What? Why more?
The kashrut.
You mean in Shemini? Because right, in the because the kashrut, exactly.
He said you would Shemini, say. You didn't hear him.
Yeah, I know. He said it many times. The Herald's exactly right. Jason's right. It should be in Vayikra in the section with kashrut. And lo and behold, it's not there. It's not in Shemini. It is in Mishpatim and Ki Tisa, which is not about kashrut. And there's no other forbidden foods that are mentioned in that context. Weird. Now look at source 3, which is from Dvarim. Banim atem ladonai lo'echem. Lo titkoredu v'lo tasimu korcha b'ninechem l'meh. Ki am kadosh ata ladonai lo'echa v'cha b'cha ladonai lo'olam z'kulam k'olim asher al p'nei adama. Your special status is kedoshim. Good. And then, you recognize this list. This is the same list, more or less, as we have in Shmini. The mammals, the fish, and the birds. Right? And you get down, and it does nothing else. It's just machalot asurot. And at the very end, there's lo tochlu chol nevela. You may not need a nevela. L'ger shem sharecha nevela machala machol enochri. Ki am kadosh ata ladonai lo'echa. Which, by the way, fits the very beginning of this whole story. Am kadosh ata. It's all about kedushat Yisrael. Cheeseburger. Lo tochlu gdi b'chalev imo. It's very strange. It's not just that it shows up three times. It shows up in three different types of contexts. You know, you talk about Shabbat. So Shabbat shows up a lot of times, but it often shows up in the context of the Mishkan. You know, it shows up in the context of the Mishkan in Kitisa, and then again in Kedoshim, and then again in Bahar. Right? We get that. Here, it's kind of like, you know, oh, we got a few extra words, let's plug them in. It's very strange. So I think a way to resolve this problem of the repetition of it lies in the last question, which is, why is it worded this way? Which is also anchored in, why is there such an Isser at all? After all, when we were kids, we always played this game, what's the worst thing you can do? What was the answer to the worst thing you could do? Bacon cheeseburger on Yom Kippur, right?
Oh, yeah.
Except that a bacon cheeseburger is not a cheeseburger, is it? What's the halacha? We're only talking about basar shkuta and chalav tahora. I mean, chalav of a tahor animal and basar that's of a tahor animal, right? Okay. So, you know, we have fun with kids and find out that we're wrong. You know, ninth grade Rebbe suddenly sets us straight. Okay. What's this prohibition all about, and why is it worded the way it is? The truth is that more ink has been spilled on this question than on most Tamei Mitzvot. Most Tamei Mitzvot do not get as excited about this because the wording is so weird and such divergency of opinions. Well, take a look at a few. Take a look at source 5, the Ibn Ezra. This is the Ibn Ezra in Shmot in our passage. Ulai haya, he says, I'm just throwing out a theory because we don't know. Ki achzariyut levu lebashel hagdim chalev imo. What does that mean? It's cruel. I'm not sure humanitarian as much as cruelty. In other words, humanitarian seems to speak to, I don't want to mistreat the other. And here it's partially that, but partially it's also its impact on me. The way the Ramban talks about when you eat non-kosher food, it actually makes you a little crazy. It does something bad to you, right? It's made to Ramban. So it's like cooking a kid in its own mother's milk. That's a cruel behavior, and it develops cruel traits. And avoiding it helps to refine your traits. It's a cruelty, and he gives an example. He gives a few other examples, but he gives one example of Otov et Bino. You're not allowed to slaughter an animal and its young on the same day. I got to ask you, do they know what day it is? And if you do it in different rooms, they have no say. Even if animals could sense, that's my young, oh, I'm dying. Right? It's not about them and their, it's about you developing proper traits and proper sensitivity and not being cruel, not treating them like just like trash. And he gives other examples also. Other things the Torah seems to put in that you could interpret as being trying to internalize good midot in our behavior to prevent cruelty. That's one possibility. The Ramban has a different tack. Well, the Ramban has a few approaches. One of them, and this is here in Dvarim in the last section, he says, V'tam ki am kadosh ata v'adonai lecha, which you see is the last small print on the Dvarim piece. He tells me I shouldn't have laid out the font the way I did. He says, Am Kadosh Ata Hashem Elokecha is connected to Lo Tvashal Gdi, meaning Lo Tvashal Gdi V'Chalev Imo is a result of your being Kadosh. Ki Enenu Ma'achal Nitav, he says, there's nothing disgusting about it. It's not like bugs or some of the other things that were prohibited. Ye'asor Oto V'Hiyotenu Kadoshim V'Ma'achalim. Because we're sanctified in what we eat. Now, that can be read several ways. One way we could read it is to say that the discipline, the inherent discipline in having a diet is also a value. In other words, saying there's certain things that you like, there's nothing bad about them, you like this and you like that, you put them together. Say no, so learn some discipline. I think there may be something else going on, though. Basar b'chalav, milk and meat, is really part of a, in one sense, is part of a group that we call machalot asurot. If you want to look for the laws of basar b'chalav, you look at the Rambam in Hilchot machalot asurot. In Sefer Kedushah, by the way. Right. It's also part of another system. It's a system that we broadly refer to as kilayim. What are kilayim?
Mixtures.
But they're mixtures, meaning they are things that are independently totally fine. It's the mixture that's the problem. And there's seven kilayim. What are they?
Black.
Okay, so wearing wool and linen. What else?
Two animals
what?
That's plowing together.
Plowing together. What's the other one? Two animals mating. Crossbreeding. Right? What?
Trees,
seeds, vineyards, and milk and meat. All of them are things which are totally legit independently, and the mixture is forbidden. Different measures are forbidden. Some of them you're allowed to eat, but you're not allowed to do, like Kilei Ha'ilan, Kilei Zra'im. Some of them you're allowed to make, but you're not allowed to wear, like Shatnez. You're not allowed to make Shatnez, you're still going, you're still wearing. Some of them you're not allowed to get any benefit from, Basar B'Chalav or Kilei HaKerem. Different measures, but they're all kind of under that rubric. What is it about Kilayim that's such a problem? So the answer is we don't know. But we get a little bit of a hint in Parshat Kedoshim. In Parshat Kedoshim, we're told the following. After the famous big Broadway billboard, V'ahavta l'recha kamocha, which everybody, you know, that gets excited. The next pasuk is a chukotai tishmaru. Okay. Behemtacha lo batabi akilayim, sadcha lo tizu akilayim, uveged kilayim shatnez lo yal alecha. Three of the kilayim in one pasuk. Crossbreeding, planting seeds, cross-planting, and Chatna's garments. Preceded by what phrase? Et chukotai tishmaru. Keep my chukim. What are chukim? So chukim, writ originally, means something that's engraved. How would they write laws in the ancient world? They would engrave them on stone. Hammurabi. So it's called a chok. It's something that's engraved. When in Tanakh, when we want to refer to hardwired things, they're called chukim. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu refers to the universe's laws of operation, what we refer to as the laws of physics, as chukot shamayim v'aretz. In modern Hebrew, we refer to them as chukei hateva, the laws of nature. It is what it is. That's it's hardwired. So what does that chukotai tishmaru have to do with kilayim? It's actually quite straightforward. How did HaKadosh Baruch Hu create the world? What's the word that repeats over and over and over in the third day, and in the fifth day, and in the sixth day? Leminehu. This thing will grow trees, leminehu. And this fish will repopulate leminehu. And these birds will repopulate leminehu. And these animals will repopulate leminehu. Everything according to its own kind. What did HaKadosh Baruch Hu say? He said, I want this, and I want this, and I want this. And man comes along and says, I got a better idea. No, et chukotai tishmoru, guard and respect the boundaries that I put in. Okay. So that could be what Ramban is referring to when he says, because we are Am Kadosh. And part of that Kedusha, it's in Parshat Kedoshim, chukotai tishmoru, it's all about Kedusha Ta'am, is about our respecting the boundaries. After all, what is Kedusha all about? Kedusha is all about boundaries. Kedusha of place, Kedusha of time, Kedusha of certain people, it's boundaries. So that's the second possibility of what it's about what the Isur B'Zabar Chalav is about. It's about that. Then I want to throw out a whole third possibility. It's one we talked about years ago here. I just had a conversation with Rabbi Lieberman where he told me that there's additional research on this happening as we speak. If you look in source 7, the Rambam in Moreh Nevuchim, in the third section of Moreh Nevuchim, has a long, long series of chapters on Tamei HaMitzvot. The Rambam starts out by saying, there are people who will tell you that there's mitzvot that are irrational. And he says, that's ridiculous. He says, there's mitzvot, we don't understand the reasons for them. But say they're irrational and they have no sense to them. He says, that, you know, flies totally in the face of what we understand of God. Okay, that's the Rambam. And then the Rambam goes on to suggest reasons for many of the mitzvot that we have. Many of them are related to Avodah Zarah, and the Rambam says that in some cases he had a record of what he thought were the Canaanite cults at the time that practiced certain things. For instance, he mentions a practice that the cult priest would wear woman's clothing made of woolen linen on a particular night to do a ritual. He says, now you understand why the Torah forbade cross-dressing and woolen linen. In other words, it's distancing from pagans. And he has a lot of arichut there. And then he says the following thing. V'omnam. He says, I don't have proof for this, but I'm proposing, I'm conjecturing. Isur basar b'chalav im heyotom mazon av meod b'lo safek molid milui rab. By the way, the Rambam says, because I'm a doctor and someone thinking of a nutritionist, says, we all understand basar b'chalav is bad for you and everything else, but nonetheless, ein rachok etzli sheyesh bo reach avodah zarah, but I wouldn't be surprised if it had an avodah zarah component to it. Kacha yosin b'avodah morotah o b'chag michagem. Maybe that's how they worshipped or they celebrated. By the way, the Sforno says the same thing. The Sforno says that there was some fertility ritual that they did that involved taking a kid, cooking in its own mother's milk, and he says that's what the Torah is forbidding. The Sforno in our Parshat Mishpatim.
Didn't you say you found something about
Yeah, I didn't find it. So in 1929, there was a tablet found in Ugarit, because for hundreds of years, you know, the Rambam was sort of unsubstantiated. There was a tablet found by Chiera, I think it was, a French mission, in Ugarit, and when it was deciphered with all of the gaps and trying to fill in the gaps, it indicated that it was part of a ritual of a fertility ritual, and it indicated that it said, kill the goat, prepare the cream. It's like, all right, we found basar v'chalav in their cult. So about 20 years ago or less, Bruce Zuckerman over at USC has great spectrograph, took a look at it and said, doesn't say that at all. And so, like, the whole thing kind of popped. But Erlinman just told me that actually they're reinvestigating and saying maybe it actually does say that, which is very cool. But you listen to the words, and the words really sound like Avodah Zarah. They sound like there was some weird practice, and the Torah is forbidding it. Which means, possibility one is, the prohibition, and the reason it's worded the way it is because you should not be a gross person towards God's creatures. You should be sensitive. Second is...
That's a hard sell, right?
I don't think at all. I think that's the easiest way. That's the way most people read Lodeva Shagdi B'chalimimo, because we have other mitzvot like that. Like Shivat Yamim Yehimimo and Shiluach HaKein, and all sorts of other things, which seem to be saying, you need to treat God's creatures with kindness, not because so much because they're sensitive, but your sensitivity.
But where do you have something in three different places?
No, I'm just saying that may be part of the reason for the prohibition. Then, part of the reason for prohibition may be this respect for Kiddushah, respect for the boundaries. And part of it may indeed be distancing yourself from Avodah Zarah. So I'm going to suggest that maybe all three are true. And that maybe what happened is the Torah is telling us all three because the Torah is telling us that all three are true. Look at the context again. Let's start with the first context, the one in Parshat Mishpatim. What's going on in this Parsha? The focus is on taking care of the poor, sensitivity for the underdog, sensitivity for the one who doesn't have. Thrown into the middle of that is a sentence about Avodah Zarah, which is weird. I'm going to try to tie it together. And then it leads us to the Chagim, which is the time when we celebrate. And what does the Torah command us when we celebrate? You must include the Ger, the Yatom, the Almanah, and the Levi. And then it concludes with Lo Tashal Gedi B'Chalivimo, perhaps saying, even in what you eat at home, you have to exercise that sensitivity to the one who is without. That's possibility one. The Parsha in Kitisa, so why is there a pasuk about Avodah Zarah in the middle of it? Because all of this is anchored in our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's not that we have raised sensitivity to others and social justice, and I'll say it with quote marks around me, tikkun olam, to some sort of inherent value. It's not. It's a value because it's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu has told us. And it's important not to let it become, not to let it become a runaway ship. What's the second parsha about? The second parsha is about Avodah Zarah. You just did the Egel. And now there's this brief that includes a warning against Avodah Zarah and a reminder against avoiding Avodah Zarah, etc. And all of that. And then, Lo Tavash Shagdi B'Chalev Imo, in the context of what the Rambam says, makes all the sense in the world. Don't just avoid Avodah Zarah. Don't just avoid making a brit with them and letting your kids marry them, etc. But even avoid their practices. Even at home on your stove. Don't prepare food the way that they prepare food as part of their rituals. Makes sense. Then take a look at Dvarim. What do we have in Dvarim? A call to us to be Kedoshim. And how is that Kedusha manifested? This food you eat, this food you don't eat. This bird you eat, this bird you don't eat. This fish you eat, this fish you don't eat. It's all about separation and recognizing boundaries. And what's the ultimate separation you get to? You may eat this, you may eat that, but not together. Now let's pull together. What did the Gemara here, it's Rabbi Shimon Yochai, and the Gemara, it's Rabbi Yishmael, say the three Isurim? Why does it say it three times? Achila, Bishul, and Hanah. Good. Let's start with the one in Mishpatim. The Torah is saying you've got to be sensitive towards the one who doesn't have. Which one of those acts is the most grossly insensitive? What do you think? I don't know about you, it seems to me the cooking. You're taking an animal, killing it, then milking its mother and cooking it. It's like, it's very heartless towards them. That's the Yisur Bishul. Kedoshim is all about achila. In Dvarim, it's all about what you're not allowed to eat. What about the one in Kitisa? That's about Avodah Zarah. Avodah Zarah is Asur Bahana'ah. So this becomes Asur Bahana'ah. So it's not just, it says it three times, so therefore it's this, that, and the other. It's each one of them is relating to a different aspect of our Avodat Hashem, which plays out in different ways. One of them is the action we do. The other one is benefiting from the action by taking it in. And the other one is getting any hana'ah whatsoever. It's Avodah Zarah, stay away. No benefit. And that rolls us back to the other three. What did the Mechilta say? That the three times were keneged the three britot that we signed. We signed a brit at Har Sinai, we signed a brit at Arvot Moab, and we signed a brit at Gerizim and Eval. What was the brit we signed at Har Sinai? What was that about? What did HaKadosh Baruch Hu say to us in the introduction? V'atem tiyuli mamlachet kohanim v'goy kadosh. What did we have to do in anticipation of Hashem coming to Har Sinai? V'hit kadishtem. Separate yourselves. Kedoshim. Okay. What about Arvot Moav? Why was there another brit at Arvot Moav? Because what had just happened? Avon Po'or. Avodah Zarah. And now we come into Israel and we sign a brit at Gerizim and Eval. Listen to the words in the brit on Gerizim and Eval. Who do we have? We have six tribes up there. The Levim turn to them and say, Arur Ha'ish. What are those brachot about? They're about a lot of things, including matem mishpat ger, lokeach shochad. They're about hurting the underprivileged. And Chazal tell us that it was at Gerizim and Eval that we accepted the responsibility for each other's behavior, arvut. The real achdut of Am Yisrael, which is, I suggest a couple years ago, which is why you have the six tribes facing each other right over the spot where they sold Yosef, symbolically, it's not geographically. It's about achdut, it's about working together, about taking care of each other. And so each brit that we experienced in history, from year 1 to year 41, was about one of these components. And Lo Tavashel Gediba Chalev Imo is an expression of each one of those components separately, and therefore drives three different isurim, an isur of bad behavior, an isur of devouring something that is this mixture, and an isur of getting any hana whatsoever of something which is akin to Avodah Zarah.